There is an old Romanian fairy tale called Life Without Death, Youth Without Age. It's thought to be of medieval origin, a fantastic tale where the hero rides a magical horse that he hand-feeds live coals and boiled rice. Poet and commentator Andrei Codrescu brought memories of that old story with him when he came from Romania to the United States 30 years ago. Codrescu has recast the story in modern-day New Orleans, his adopted home. It occurred to him that its themes, longing for love, wishing for eternal youth, confronting death, are also part of modern life. We now present The Valley of Christmas, a cautionary tale.
Once upon a time, there was a couple named Desiree and Brian in New Orleans who waited too long to have kids. They tried everything they could to have one, cycle monitoring, organic Chinese pills used by desperate empresses in the 12th century, crystal healers, past life regression, aura adjustment. Nothing worked. The desolate couple was just about to give up when Maria, their Dominican Cajun once-a-week maid, said that she knew of something that might work, but it could be dangerous.
Look now, it could be so dangerous, Mr. Brown. You know, it could make God mad. It could rain down so hard, we all sink down into the gumbo. It could be bad enough to turn goats into cars.
Maria Louise, the once-a-week Dominican Cajun maid, told them to go to St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 at midnight during the next full moon. They were to wait there, looking at nothing but the sky. St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 smelled of dead voodoo chickens and night jasmine, and the air above the tombs was silver bright and very still. Precisely midnight, they heard a voice behind them. They listened very carefully to what the voice said, remembering to keep staring at the sky and not to turn around.
You can have a baby, but you will be sorry. Do you still want this baby?
Oh, yes. We do.
Oh, yes. We do.
So that was that. Desiree became pregnant the very next day. After 9 months or so of happiness and many discomforts, Desiree was ready to do anything to have the huge watermelon that had turned her into a large and clumsy creature removed from her. But the 9 months passed, and the baby refused to be born. Desiree became very depressed and very moody and ate everything that her once-a-week maid Maria Louise made, including plantains and crawfish fried in pork fat. The many doctors whom they consulted shrugged their shoulders and offered to remove the baby surgically. Under 12 months, Desiree and Brian decided to go ahead with surgical removal, but not before Brian pleaded with the baby one more time.
My son, please get born. I will give you a Schwinn tricycle. You can go to Tulane Law School. You can have your own gold Visa card. You can date a carnival queen or one of the sensations.
Just before the two unhappy parents started packing for the sad trip to Baptist Hospital, the baby spoke.
Father, I want 3 things. I want to know what preschool I'm going to. I want a 65 Thunderbird on my 18th birthday. I never want to grow old.
Overjoyed, Brian promised him that he could go to Britannia Street Montessori. He didn't think eternal youth would be a problem either. He knew in his heart of hearts that medical science would come up with something. So he promised those things without any hesitation. And the baby was born naturally in the hospital, and Brian videotaped everything. It was a beautiful Christmas day. The fog looked almost like snow outside the window. The once a week Dominican Cajun maid Maria wanted to name the baby Jesus. But in the end, the baby was named Brian Jr. and nicknamed Almond Joy after Desiree's favorite candy bar, which she could never eat anymore because of her diet. Almond Joy was a very strong and witty baby who grew in one day like other babies grow in a month because of the baby food Maria Louise made, fortified with fish broth and vitamins from the health food store. When Almond Joy was 18, his parents gave a big, huge party at Christmas to celebrate. The party was going great, and everyone was having a great time. But Almond Joy looked sad.
What's the matter, son? Aren't you enjoying the party in your honor?
It's a groovy party, Dad. But the time has come for you to give me the promise for which I was born.
Hoping to distract him, Brian pointed to the mountain of presents the guests had brought and then took out a car key from his pocket.
A brand new Triumph Spitfire.
But Almond Joy did not cheer up.
I want never to grow up, just like you promised.
Almond Joy would not relent no matter what Desiree, Brian, or his friends and acquaintances said. He stood up from the feast table and announced in a firm voice,
If you cannot give me what I want, Dad, I'm gonna split and catch it somewhere myself.
Almond Joy left the table and went wandering into the orchard, where he ran into one of Maria's black roosters.
Hey, close your eyes and whistle Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Almond Joy did what he was told. When he turned around, he saw that the rooster had become a 1965 Thunderbird in very good shape, all clean and ready to go.
Get in, master.
Almond Joy got in, and off they went. After driving for about a week without needing any gas, Almond Joy wanted to stop to get some food. Finally, after a long time, they came to the burnt hulk of an old factory. No sooner did they stop than a man as thin as cigarette smoke jumped out holding a sausage-making machine.
Answer my questions, fat people, or I'll grind you into foot-long hot dogs and eat you without any mustard.
Shoot!
First question. What is life?
Life is what you never see on TV.
Okie dokie. Now this, what's life?
You already asked that one.
What?
Shouted the androgyny.
You think there is only one answer to that question? Answer, or you shall be hot dog.
All right. Life is a search-and-destroy mission where you search for the biggest TV you can find and you destroy it. How's that?
It's the long answer, but okay this time. And now, the final question. What is life?
Life. It's an escapee from TV who's escaping as fast as he can.
That satisfied the androgyny, and he cooked something crunchy in white sauce from a package for Almond Joy and gave him a half a can of flat Diet Coke to drink. The T-Bird got its rearview mirror polished. Almond Joy then asked if he could point them in the direction of the land where no one ever got old. Once more, they got on the road. This time they drove for exactly 9 weeks and 3 days without stopping. On the last of those 3 days, at the end, Almond Joy began to notice that the landscape was changing. It was snowing, too, just like it snows inside the paperweight. The snow was warm and didn't freeze the flowers or weigh down the trees. The snowflakes were big and fat, and they drifted between the branches like thoughts in the mind of a young girl in love.
"What beautiful snow,"
said Almond Joy.
"I'd love to see a rainbow just about now."
No sooner said than done. A rainbow packed with colors as full as he could hold popped up over his head from one end of the sky to another. Almond Joy stopped the engine and wandered off into the field. As he walked, the snow just kept falling, and Almond Joy knew that he was very close to the place he was seeking. While standing waist deep in a snowdrift that felt just like goose feathers, he noticed that all the trees in the forest were Christmas trees. A voice behind Almond Joy said,
"Hi."
He turned to look, and he couldn't believe his eyes. Standing there was a girl who looked a little like Brooke Shields in Pretty Baby and a little like Natasha Kinski in Tess Duberville. She was standing on tiptoes, holding a shiny pear, but still only came up to his shoulder.
"Help me hang this."
She was trying to hang the sequined pear from a sparkling tree branch. Almond Joy put his arms around her waist and lifted her up so she could hang the pear. After that, Priscilla, because that was her name, led Almond Joy by the hand and took him to meet her sisters. Priscilla and her sisters lived in a crystal house that sat in the middle of the thickest field of flowers in that whole land. Inside the house, Almond Joy met Drusilla, who looked a little like Bo Derek in Ten and a little like Winona Ryder in Dracula, and Sparkilla, who was the youngest and looked a lot like Madonna in High School and a little like Sissy Spacek in Badlands, if you can imagine that. I can't, because it's just too much.
"Where am I?"
asked Almond Joy, bewildered.
"You're in the Valley of Christmas,
where it's always Christmas, every soft minute.
But really, it's lit mostly by snowflakes.
And dancing. We love to dance.
Our house is as warm as a Christmas cookie and as bright as a sparkle."
The three sisters told Almond Joy that their house was in the very middle of the very middle of the Valley of Christmas. The sisters were very happy here, and now that he'd come, everything was more perfect than before, if such a thing were possible.
"Could this be the same place as the land where one never grows old?"
inquired Almond Joy. He did not want to lose sight of the main purpose.
"The very same place."
For dinner, Almond Joy had pear and mango slices, roasted eggplant with sweet red peppers, and linguine with clams that he washed down with a very good Chardonnay. He ate some of these delicious things directly from the girls' hands, who liked to hold their palms to him like plates. Almond Joy had never eaten this way, and he liked it very much. A week passed in this way, and every day was just as pleasant as the last. Almond Joy lost all feeling of time. He gave himself over to the delicious thought that every day was his birthday. Every day was his birthday, because every day was Christmas. He could have whatever he wished, and he had it as soon as he wished it. Every morning he found new presents wrapped under any tree he chose to look under. Bright, neatly wrapped packages waited for him to open them. Inside were always wonderful things like all the new Nintendo games and even fun clothes like pre-torn jeans. Almond Joy could change the weather just by wishing it. The only thing that Almond Joy could not change was the snow. It snowed all the time. Otherwise, what was there to complain about? Priscilla, Drusilla, and Sparkilla made him five-star restaurant types of things to eat. At night, they told him stories and looked through his hair. Almond Joy himself did not know how much time passed in this way. He could barely tell day from night as he wandered about the snowy, flowery land of Christmas. Everything was perfect, except that after a while, the snow did begin to bother him a little. It always snowed, and there was no way to turn it off. This little bother wasn't anything too major, though. Nonetheless, he would have liked to get away from the snow for just a couple of minutes. One morning, he told the sisters that he wanted to go for a ride. Priscilla started to cry when she heard this. She was joined by Drusilla and Sparkilla. They were all crying something awful, and Almond Joy felt bad, although he wasn't sure what he was feeling bad about. They told Almond Joy to be careful. It was okay to drive anywhere he wished in the Valley of Christmas, with the sole exception of a tiny dirt road that led nowhere as far as they knew. Finally, Almond Joy and T-Bird were able to get away from the sisters, who had the saddest faces that you could imagine. Almost as soon as they started, Almond Joy began to feel great. He loved his new life. As long as he could ride alone in his T-Bird once in a while, there was nothing he wanted to change. They were gone for maybe 2 hours when Almond Joy spotted the little dirt road in a field of red poppies with snowflakes on them.
What do you say?
I don't think so. You heard what the sisters said. That road leads nowhere.
Okay,
said Almond Joy, who was feeling drunk with good feelings.
So let's go nowhere for a while.
T-Bird allowed himself to be steered onto the tiny dirt road, but was not too happy about it. He valued his shocks and didn't feel like getting all shook up. It had stopped snowing, though, and Almond Joy felt relieved. The dirt road was like any dirt road. There wasn't anything special about it. But as they were cruising along, Almond Joy started to remember things he had not thought about for a long time. He remembered the dryer in his laundry room at home spinning around and around and how much he liked to watch it. He remembered the smell of Maria Luisa's cooking when she made plantain pancakes on Sunday morning. He remembered his father sitting in front of his word processor with his glasses pushed up on his forehead. He remembered his mother sitting in a big chair in the living room with her feet tucked under her, reading the latest stock reports from Dean Whittier. Tears sprang to Almond Joy's eyes. The longer he drove, the more he remembered, and the sadder he felt. At long last, he turned around, because he felt that going farther on this road to nowhere would surely cause him to die of sadness. Things just weren't the same after that. The sisters guessed right away that Almond Joy had driven down the road to nowhere.
I must go visit my parents. I miss them very much. I only want to see them for a day. I promise that I will return as soon as I see them.
The sisters cried so much that the river sprang up out of their tears and nearly flooded the whole Valley of Christmas. But luckily some beavers dammed it up. No amount of tears would cause Almond Joy to change his mind, so after sad farewells, he climbed into the T-Bird. When they arrived what used to be New Orleans, there was nothing there but some big sculptures of ugly men that looked like politicians from the 20th century. There was dense soot in the air, and a mean, frozen wind was whistling through cracks in ruined buildings. T-Bird remembered the way, and after a day, they found themselves in the place where the orchard and Desiree and Brian's house once stood. By the time Almond Joy arrived to the door, his beard had grown so long it was trailing behind him about 19 feet. His eyelids felt as heavy as if they were made of stone. When he reached the door, Almond Joy heard the feeble voice of T-Bird behind him.
Let's turn around now, boss. We have about a second or we'll never make it.
With a heavy hand and heart, Almond Joy opens the old door, ignoring T-Bird. The door opened with surprising ease. Almond Joy looked in. It was his old room. His posters had fallen from the wall, and everything was covered with 2 feet of dust. As he was looking around, trying to keep his eyes open, he saw something moving in the room and coming toward him. An old man, as old as he was, stepped out of the shadows of his childhood and approached Almond Joy slowly. When they stood face to face, the old man said to Almond Joy,
"Finally! If you hadn't come today, I would have died of old age."
"Who are you?"
"What? I'm your death!"
With those words, the old man slapped him once, and Almond Joy crumbled into a fine powder. The T-Bird made it as far as what used to be Maria's old chicken coop before disintegrating into a cloud of feathers. The crowing of a rooster was heard then. It was the only living sound that had been heard for a long time on Earth, where people used to live.
The Valley of Christmas, adapted from a Romanian folktale and narrated by Andrei Codrescu. Almond Joy was played by Tristan Codrescu. Also in the cast were John Sinclair, Tracy Freeman, Patty Perrette, Charmaine Neville, Kenneth Raphael, Camille Bullock, Eva Earls, Jessica Levith, Kate LaBouche, Nakoshi Mills, and Mem Shannon. Music was performed by Mark Bingham, Glenn Pecha, Bill Milkowski, and the band Evil Nurse Sheila. Mark Bingham produced The Valley of Christmas. It was edited and remixed for radio by Bill Deputy and Art Silverman.